But we've got opportunity to hear grace in someone else's life. And boy, it's an honor to call up Dan Fuster. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I've known Dan for so many years and been able to walk alongside him. And I know in youth, was just amazed at the grace of God in his life. And probably even before, a lot of us saw it. And to see just a greater release of that grace flowing. It's just a privilege to run alongside, shoulder to shoulder, and to see all that's there. So why don't you guys stretch out your hands and, yeah, God, we just thank you for what's already there. And Lord, we just want to submit and yield to you, Holy Spirit, to what you have to say. We pray for ears to hear, eyes to see, Holy Spirit, what it is you're saying. We thank you for a freedom for Daniel just to be who Daniel is and to release all that you've placed on the inside of him. We pray for a liberty. We thank you for that liberty in advance. And we just thank you for complete flow to operate and to have fun in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, man. Wow.
That's so awesome. Do you guys hear what God's saying this morning? He loves you so much. Oh, man. Do you understand? This is a recreation of what God's done for us, man. That's so heavy. His heart is just so heavy on you guys. You're manifesting that. I'm sorry. That Father, heart of God. Wow. Even the hard work that it took and what it cost. He's speaking loud and clear to us this morning, man. Wow. When we hear about the adoption, we all cheer and we all shout. Wow. That's what happened with every single person here who came to Christ. Wow. That's so intense. Yay. Woo! It was hard and it cost somebody, but he did it because he loves. That's so heavy. Wow. Josiah, would you mind coming play for me? I read this in 2 Kings the other day. Elijah, they came to ask him what, I think it was Jehoshaphat, was like, should we attack? And then he's like, give me a musician. And then the musician came, and when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. So I'm just going to do that. Felt right too. So, yeah, just let it go. Yeah, I want to do something with everybody this morning. If you would all, well, let me give you some background first. You know, and I think this comes from an orphan mindset that, you know, we've all developed at some point in our lives. We keep waiting for God to show up. We keep waiting for him to come. We keep waiting for him to, like, come and get us. But he came and got us, right? And so, you know, when Jesus came and when he died on the cross for our sins, if you look at the whole Old Testament, God was talking about making a nation of priests, of kings. And we have the tabernacle, and then we had the temple. What was the role of the priests? The priests would come into the holy place because they were pure. They went through all the rituals. Thank goodness we don't have to do that because Jesus did it. But they would come to the Father. So now that we're a nation of priests, I would like us to not call upon God to come here, but we're going to go to him. You kind of see what I'm saying? So if you all wouldn't mind standing, and all you need is like an inch or two in front of you, I just want corporately just to take one step forward, a physical representation of what we're doing. We're stepping into the Father's presence. We're going to where he is. We don't want him to come here, you know. We're going to where he is because that's where we're actually seated. And if this is weird and you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But if you only do what you've always done, you'll only get what you've always gotten. Right? So let's just try it. Yeah, if you've got an inch, just take a step. So 1, 2, 3. Oh, Father, here we are. Thank you that we can come boldly before you, God. Thank you that we stand before you without shame, without condemnation, without guilt, God, because you've washed that all away. When you woke up this morning, God saw you and he saw you as righteous. Oh, totally pure, totally white, totally clean. We need to wake up and believe that first thing in the morning, man. Because that's going to set the tone for the rest of your day. I've noticed lately when I wake up. Yeah. Was that good? Stepping in there, man. That was awesome. Okay, you can be seated. But don't leave that spot. I've noticed lately when I wake up, often I hear suggestive voices. People say that the kingdom of God is as closer than the air you breathe, but I would also say the kingdom of darkness is just that close. Whichever one you turn your face to, you know, is the one that's going to reflect itself in your life. First thing in the morning, this last week, and it's kind of funny because you become familiar with the schemes of the devil, right? I'm going to be speaking today, and, you know, Satan preps for that too. And waking up and just, you know, just feeling like, ugh, God, here I am again. Ugh. You know? What is that? And one thing God's been talking to me about this week is my will. Very important thing, your will. When we wake up in the morning, you know, often, and this is that orphan mindset, we want to get, like, picked out of stuff, and we want to just be like, you know, make it easy. But we forget that not only were we redeemed as sons, but we also stepped into an intense war. And we can't allow ourselves to be victimized by attacks that happen. First thing in the morning, I want to keep sleeping, man. Or God, thank you that today I get to wake up and represent you to everybody around me. You know, that's your will. You got to choose that every single morning. Every single morning, because doesn't it suck waking up and feeling like just tired of life? And yeah, and I totally forgot where I was going. So I'm just basically going to share with you what's kind of been on my heart this last week. Yeah, kind of what we did this just now with, like, stepping in. We're using our will to engage God's presence, you know? We get to step in. We get to choose it. Life is a choice. I don't care what happens. I don't care what's been done to you. Everything you do is a choice that you have. No one can ever take that away from you. Like, I know horrible things happen, and I'm not, like, saying that that's okay, what other people did, but we have a choice to react to that. And that's using your will. And it's important that we actually know who we are and our identity. Because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. It's not the other way around. Well, I know who I want to, I know what I should do, so I'll try and do it. Like, man, it's awesome understanding your identity in Christ. It's very important that you seek that out. I was talking to God earlier, and I was thinking, man, Lord, should I, like, get a sermon ready on Hebrews, or, you know, go into some of the covenant stuff? And that's just not the direction I feel God wanted to take this morning. I think, you know, like, man, this is heavy stuff, okay? It's heavy stuff, but it's really good, and I'm not condemning. Like, we get to live representing our Father, but aren't some of you just tired of the way that life has been? That the way that Christianity's been going the last while? there's more. I found that out a few months ago. I would always say that, you know, oh, there's more. But I actually know now, there's more. And I remember hearing that, and I actually jumped around my living room. I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, there's more. And I was like, yeah, woo, yes, yes, yes. Because I was so tired of the same old, really, God, is this it? Is this what we get to do? You know? How come Niverville isn't transformed yet? How come Niverville hasn't, how come no one's flocking into the church? The population's growing, the church population hasn't been. Maybe it's because we haven't fully understood who we are. Like, Jesus was the example for us, okay? He wasn't like this high and lifted up, unreachable thing. He said, the works I've done and greater than these you'll do. So clearly Jesus wasn't the limit, he was the floor, which is pretty intense. But like this man is walking around and he gets like regularly groups of 5,000 people are just following him. Not all for the right reasons, but they're following him. Imagine if every one of us was like walking as Christ did. That would be tens of thousands of people would be following. That sounds crazy, but let's dream here a little bit. Because when people saw Jesus, they had to have him. One thing I heard lately was people will love you before they love Jesus. That's a heavy one. They'll love you before they love Jesus. If someone is not a believer and you're interacting with them, they'll love you before they love Jesus because you're representing Christ to them. If you've got a stinker attitude and you're like, meh, 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 Jesus, meh, and they don't love you, maybe you were not representing Christ as fully as we should. You know, some people go to church for 20 years and they react the same way in a crisis as someone who's never darkened the doors of church. That's not okay. That's really not okay. That means we're missing something. That means we're not understanding what Christ did for us, what he bought for us. This is why I didn't want to go into another, well, here's some Matthew or here's some of Hebrews. We've heard messages from the Bible. Something has to change. Something has to be different. And I think what today what God wants to talk about is intimacy with him. There's such a difference between knowing what the Word says and actually believing it. Because, you know, I've gone through crises in my life where I've gone to talk to people. And they'd start quoting a verse and I'd finish it for them. And I'd say, yeah, I know that. No, I didn't know that. If you knew that, it would change how you react to life. I think I explained last time I spoke about how what you know determines what you do. If you act, what you believe determines what you do. Like I said, I go to work because I believe I'm going to get a paycheck. I really believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't do it. I pray for people because I actually believe they're going to be healed. And I'm at a point where I'm a little surprised when it doesn't happen. Because it should. There's a big difference between knowing what the Bible says and believing what the Bible says. And we should never come to the Word trying to just know it. We have to come to the Word trying to be it. Because that's what actually changes people. That's what actually impacts communities. That's what actually, like, it's all about transformation. And so this morning, I really just want to spur everybody on to to just go after God. That's such a, like, and I get it, guys. I've heard this stuff my whole life, too. Like, you know, choose God, spend time with him. But really, do it. Really, actually do it. Like, seek him out. Until it burns, until it hurts. Because I heard one guy say, this prophetic guy, he was saying, when you're going in for God and for the things of God, first it's hard, and then it's impossible, and then it happens. You know? There's such a a cloud around us that's actually blocking us from, you know, entering in. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I've noticed this. Society is designed to stone you, to get you high and to get you senseless. It totally is. Like, I'm not going to be like one of these, be in the world, but not of the world. I believe that. But don't be like, oh, I'm not going to ever see a movie again or whatever, right? I'm not one of those guys. All I'm saying is that when you engage with our culture, it actually numbs your need for hunger. Because once I stopped watching, I just felt like I should. I stopped watching TV and movies and games as much as I was. And all of a sudden, I noticed that I was really hungry. It's not that I wasn't hungry that whole time. It's just that I all of a sudden started noticing it because I was totally numb. You're just filling this void. You know, you're tossing in stuff and there's no bottom and it just stones you. I just love what God's been doing this morning. So cool, like what Mark was saying when he was up there about identity and then what happened with, you know, the adoption and stuff. Yeah, I guess I would just ask you this morning, do you actually believe it? Answer that. You know, well, God knows my heart. Well, a life lived is your heart revealed. You know, like good intentions. Great. What are you doing? God, you know, he of course he understands our heart, but your life is just an outpouring of your heart. Like, don't rely on good intentions. Like, make the decision. Use your will to step in, to go hunting for this stuff. It's funny, because every time I go to God, like, sometimes I'll have a bad time, and, like, whatever life's getting to me. And I just kind of feel, I don't know if anybody else experiences this, but sometimes I feel condemnation for no reason. It's not like I did anything. It's pretty funny, because the fact that you have condemnation is proof that your heart has been renewed and purified. I don't know, like, I've been in the church my whole life, so I don't really know, but you used to not feel bad about stuff that you did, that you knew was wrong. You used to not feel bad about it. Condemnation is Satan taking advantage of your purity. The fact that you're feeling condemnation shows that God has put a brand new heart in you with his laws on it. He's changed your identity. He's actually done it. You can't continue doing that because your conscience will be seared. Pretty cool. So yeah, I would wake up and I would just have this sense of condemnation that was like, what is going on? And then you don't want to go to God because you feel bad and you think he's just going to make you feel worse, which is pretty dumb. But then I find every time I actually turn, like I was saying about the two kingdoms, right? I turn my face to God. It's always like he's like right here, and I'm like, well, God, holy smokes. Like, he's like, hi. I've been waiting for you. Sometimes at work, too, the Holy Spirit will just show up. And God's been like, he's so funny, too. Like, I was in the shower, and I was showering or whatever, and then I just started praying, and then I saw in my head these two nostrils just go, and I was like, what? And then I heard God, he's like, I love your smell. And I was like, what are you talking about? He wasn't talking about the dove I was using. He was talking about my aroma to him. He loves my smell. And I just burst out laughing, because I was like, you know, we just get so religious, and we get all, oh God, I am here, holy art thou. And he's like, oh, that's good stuff. Oh. You know? And he thinks about that, about all of you, by the way. Like this morning I was standing at the back and I was just listening and it is heavy here. Like God's just thick and his love is so thick and it's just sweeping over everybody. Like, you know how we rejoiced when we heard about the adoption? Like, God feels that way about you. Say that to yourself. Talk about yourself that way. I heard one guy, he says God loves him so much that whenever he walks past the mirror, he has to take a second look. Oh, because he's like, wow, God sure did a good job, you know? Wow. And, you know, we could say, well, that's pride, that's blah, blah, blah. That guy is so confident that God loves him that nothing fazes him. This guy's name is Dan Moeller. I don't know if you've all heard of him or not, but he's insane to listen to. He's like, he just laughs hysterically all the time. He's so full of peace, so full of joy, he just wears it. And that's what he wears. You know, he doesn't wear what's happened to him. And that's what we're supposed to be like. We're not supposed to wear what's happened to us. We're not supposed to, like, I like to talk about healing and stuff like that, and I get to see it every so often, and I'm growing in it. And, like, my wife is sick this morning. That's why she's not here. She was puking, like, the last couple days. And I prayed, like, I had a dream last night that I prayed for Claire Braun's legs. And so I went and prayed for him, fully believing that God was going to do it, even though my wife's at home sick. I'm not going to wear that stuff. You know, we can't allow life and our circumstances to speak louder than the word of God. If the word and our circumstances and our experience don't line up, then we toss our experience. That sounds insane. And it is insane because the wisdom of God is foolishness to those who don't understand. But it's the power of God to those who are saved. That's pretty cool. Man, and so yeah, like I got to pray for Claire this morning. My wife's at home sick. And then you come here and you just see that God's so good. Like I heard about one person who said that I used to believe in like healings and stuff like that. But like I used to believe in healing. I used to believe that God wanted to touch everybody. But I've have too much experience in the other way to believe that anymore, basically, is what they said. How many of us have too much experience? Like a child, right? That's how we're supposed to walk in this life. We have so much experience backing up why we have a crappy attitude, backing up why I'm pissed off at that person, backing up why I'm bitter this morning. Lots of experience. Well, blah, blah, blah. It sucks. You take a step back and look at yourself and you're like, wow, that guy's scummy, man. Like, what's with the attitude? And I get like that. And that's not what Jesus Christ paid a price for. And some of this stuff might be flying over some of your heads. Maybe it's clashing with other things you've heard. I get it. I totally get that. And that's okay. You struggle with it. You wrestle with it. You fight with it. You squeeze that out. That's what it's about. You got to know it. You have to be fully convinced or else you're never going to do anything ever. You'll be like, it'll be like a yes, no, maybe so gospel. Is that what Jesus said? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. Thanks, God. Whatever will be, will be. I guess he loves me. That sucks. That sucks pretty bad. Yeah. I learned something pretty cool recently about the will of God for all of you who are demanding scripture to back up what I'm saying. So in the Bible, the word save or saved is the word sozo. You've probably heard it before. And it's used every time the word save or saved in the New Testament is used, except for like twice. Once is in 2 Peter or 1 Peter when he's talking about how God saved Noah from the flood. The word there has like to do to pull away from destruction. And then there's one other time, but almost every single time the word saved is used, it's the word sozo. And sozo means, like when we go up to one another or we're talking with other people, we say, oh yeah, are you saved? I'm saved. And we think, you know, we think, oh, that means going to heaven. That's what I always thought. Oh, going to heaven. Yeah, I'm saved. It's just going to be crappy until I die. Right? Like, seriously, it's pretty sick. Are you saved? And then we go through life, man, at least I'm going to be with him one day. Well, one day every tear will be wiped away. Well, one day I'll be happy. One day I'll be with Jesus. When you're thinking like that, and I'm very serious, death is your savior. Death is your savior if you think that way. Death is your salvation. Yeah. Nope. Not true. We need to change. So anyways, I'll just keep going here. So sozo, saved. It's everywhere in the Bible. Saved, save. You are saved to the uttermost. Save, save, save. Sozoed, 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 sozoed. Sa-da-da-da-da. Hala, shala, halala. Sozo. What does sozo mean? It's pretty intense. It means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, to do well, and to be or make whole. Whoa. That's not sozo, a ticket to heaven. I'll read it again. Healed, delivered, protected, preserved, do well, be or be made whole, or to make whole. Are you saved? Yep. Yes, you are saved. Man. And so then, we go over to 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. If you have a Bible, feel free to turn there with me. I've got an iPhone 4, so it takes a while to load. I got to get saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved, sozoed, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires all people to be sozoed. Therefore, God desires all people to be healed, delivered, protected, preserved, to do well, and to be made whole. Yes. Right now, if you go deeper into the meaning of sozo, it has it's time tense or verb tense is present. Like, it's not one day. It's now, right now, saved, today. Everybody. There you go, all you Bible bashers. No, I'm a Bible basher, so. I went to SPS. It's awesome. Steph's here. She'll come and critique me afterwards. Yeah. So that's why we can go with confidence when we pray for people. Because now you know it's God's will. You just know it is. Because he said it was. This is God's will. That every person be sozoed. I had something heavy explained to me the other day. Whoa. So we think, because this comes to the question of faith, right? What do you believe? Kind of what we were talking about before. Faith. When you're praying. What's the evidence of faith? Because, I mean, this stuff, it's not very nice on the ears to hear sometimes, because we all have hurts, we all have experiences, we all have family members who have died, and they don't seem to be sozoed. It's just reality. I'm not afraid to go there. My dad died. I think I said that last time. He had ALS. He died. Horrible death. And it comes down to faith, right? And I heard this guy explaining it. He was saying, well, what's the evidence that you have faith? The mountain is moved. That's the evidence of faith. Matthew 17, verse 20, I think it is. Yeah, Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus talks about faith and how it will move mountains. It will. Yeah. One person with faith is the majority. You know, like when someone has a headache, well, I'll pray for them. But when somebody has cancer, we get the whole church going and there's prayer lines and we get other churches praying for this cancer. And I'm not against prayer lines. All I'm saying is that when we react that way, we're saying, cancer, you are enormous. You are huge. You've hurt me. You've hurt my friends. We need to get more people. We need to pray more. Because this goes to show that we're reigning it as a king, you know? We never get a prayer line going for someone who has a headache. Never. Because a headache, oh yeah, whatever. You know? Jesus can take care of a headache. And so I think the lack of fruit in our lives is often a lack of faith. Because the proof of faith is that the mountain moves. So if the mountain didn't move, there wasn't faith. Okay? That's heavy, I know. But that's what it says. The mountain will move. Every time. And that's not a condemnation thing. That doesn't mean, well, you know, like, I prayed for my wife every day this weekend and I didn't see anything happen. She wasn't miraculously healed. And that shouldn't drive me to start feeling like, don't start feeling bad about yourself. Don't start feeling like condemned or that, oh man, like this sucks. I don't have faith or he's making me feel bad about myself. No, this should drive you closer to God because we need more revelation, obviously. There's a big difference between biblical faith and emotional faith. And it all comes down to knowing God and knowing who he is, which is why I think God wanted to hit intimacy this morning. You know? And there's all this stuff. We can talk about healing. We can talk about prophecy. We can talk about whatever, gifts of the Spirit. And I just think it's so funny, you know? Because I'm a one-track mind sort of guy, and I'll get caught up in like healing for a while, or then I'll get caught up in prophecy, or I'll get caught up in whatever. And God's like, oh, that's all good. But without love, all of that stuff is like completely useless to God. Isn't that insane? Like, we're like, yeah, whatever, love. Yeah, but I prophesied, or, oh, he raised the dead. If he didn't do it in love, it was a waste of time. That's really heavy. And how do we become love? We need to spend time with God looking at him and, you know, just allowing him to breathe into us and being transformed. This is why we don't need to know the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. You need to believe that he loves you. You need to, what's that verse? It says something about, for a man to pray, he must first believe that God is. Something like that. Yeah. Earnestly seek him. Is he even there? Do you know that this morning? It's like a freaky question, but we got to go there. Do you believe in God, or are you just really hoping that you're getting this? Or do you actually believe it? Because that'll affect your next step. Because what you believe affects what you do. I believe God exists, so I get everybody to stand up, and then we step into his presence together. And he's like, come on. Spend time with me. Look at me. Just keep it right here. Really, he like feels that way about you. And you have to believe that. Like, a discouraged Christian is so unnecessary. It's so unnecessary. It doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to happen. A discouraged Christian. And please, guys, don't, like, I'm not saying this stuff to bring a heavy or to, like, condemn or, like, come on and let's run after this. Let's run after it. We might as well, like, just be the crazy person already. Because then, okay, when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, well, what did the cross represent? In his culture, it was shame, it was like guilty, it was convicted. It was like, everyone was like, ew, criminal. Pick up your cross and follow him means take your reputation and cap it. Like, finish it. A lot of us are willing to go to conferences and a lot of us are willing to like stay up all night praying, but not a lot of us are willing to let, to be made fools of, to be embarrassed in the name of God. Like, when you pray for somebody, a stranger, and then nothing happens, if you were still alive, that would really, really suck. That's why we need to die to ourselves. And that's what I want to finish on, is death. I was talking to Caleb earlier this week, and I know I've been all over the place this morning, but I'm just going, and I'm sure something's hitting somebody somewhere. So just hang on. Stephen, you know, I was listening to this message, and this guy was talking about how Stephen, I love the story of Stephen because he's not some special guy we lifted up in the church. Stephen just dies. If you haven't finished the story, I'm sorry. He dies. He gets stoned. He's not some, I don't even think he wasn't even an apostle. He was just a dude who loved Jesus. And so he goes, and then he stands up, and he preaches this killer message to the Pharisees, talking about from the beginning of their history right up until Christ, and you guys killed him. And he brings the gospel full strength. And so they stop their ears, and they start shouting, like literally, la, 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 la. And then they start stoning him. And you wonder, like, why didn't God save him? Because Jesus gets brought to the edge of the cliff by, like, 5,000 angry Jews. And he just walks through them, untouched. Stephen's on fire for God, obviously a good speaker, preaching a serious message. And then he gets stoned. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how he just looked up and he saw Jesus seated at the right hand of God. And Jesus stood up. Because when Jesus ascended, he sat down at the right hand of God. But then when Stephen, the first martyr, was going to die, Jesus stood up for him. That's a pretty big honor, man. And then he says, God, don't count the sin against them. Whew. Just feel the weight of that for a second. Stephen was so dead before he died. He was so dead. We all need to die. We need to die. Do you feel that? Whoa. We make space for our cruddiness, if you want to call it that sometimes. Like, well, I had a hard day, but you weren't getting stoned. Well, this guy cut me off, but you weren't getting stoned, were you? Well, no. This guy had a pretty good attitude. I've heard different ways they stone people is they would they'd bury you up to your neck in sand. So that your head is sticking out, and they just huck rocks at your head. That seems a bit better than if they just threw it at your body, personally. If I was going to get stoned, I'd like to get stoned like that. But,
that's twisted.
Yeah, so here's Stephen. He's buried up to his neck in dirt. These guys are around him, and they're just, like, going to crush his head. And with the little bit of neck strength, he can actually move. He looks up and he sees Christ and Christ standing there. And all of the pain and all of the suffering was like, meh. I see Jesus seated at the right hand of God. La, 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 la. Boom. And I get pissed off when I get cut off in traffic. And it wrecks my day. Oh, that stuff's gotta go. It's so gotta go. It so has to go. That... Like, how come Neverville's not saved? Maybe we're not letting Jesus out as much as we should. Maybe we're not dead enough. Because when people see that kind of thing, it just wrecks them. Why would he say, like, even Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them? That is not human nature. That's not normal. That's not natural. It'd be like, if Jesus was on the cross and he spit somebody who was closest to him, we'd be like, yep, that's what I'd do, you know? But he didn't. He was so dead to himself. Stephen was so dead to himself. And how do we die? Intimacy with God. That stuff just kind of starts falling off of you, because you'll turn into whatever you're looking at. Whatever you keep your eyes fixed on is what you will turn into one day. You got to stay focused on him. We got to quit complaining about life. We got to step up and we got to realize and believe it, what God's done, what he's paid for. This isn't a condemnation or a guilt thing. Let's step it up and be the church. You know? Like, we can do it. We can actually do it. Jesus wouldn't have died and said the stuff he said and risen again if we couldn't do it. Why are we even here? There's a lot of stuff going around about sovereignty. Well, if it's God's will, they'll be healed. Well, if, you know, that hurricane was this. Well, that hurricane was that. That was judgment. Yep, saw that coming. Oh, yeah, that person died. Yep, they're supposed to be in that wheelchair. God's teaching them a lesson. That's not true. I'll just debunk that right now. It's not true. If it's all about God's sovereignty, then why is the power of life and death in the tongue? Pretty serious what you speak over people and what you speak over yourself. Why do we intercede for other people and pray? Why is there the armor of God if it's all up to sovereignty? If God's just picking names out of a hat, playing bingo with people's lives. You know, we're the body of Christ. My body is an expression of what's going on up here. So when I move, when I step, it's because the head is speaking to the body. Right? Jesus Christ is our head. We are the body. We're not waiting for a move of God. We are the move of God. Because when God moves, well, he's moving his body and we're moving. Like, does that make sense? We got to step it up. We got to get rid of this victim mentality that we've all been living in. We got to die to ourselves. We have to get rid of fear. That stuff's just going to crush us and keep us where we are. God moves with his body. We're his body. Therefore, we move and there's a move of God. When you move, there's a move of God. God came and he did everything he did through Christ. Because he was setting an example. So how does God do things? He does things through his people. What a privilege. We're not victims in this. We're not lying down waiting for God to come. He already came. He died. He did a new thing. And he anointed everybody here who believes in Jesus to like go and get him. To destroy the works of the devil every single day. That's pretty cool. What an honor. Like, let's do it. Let's get to that point of revelation. And I know, like, a lot of things I said are kind of challenging and might make you feel a bit uncomfortable. That's okay. It's all real. Like, we're not just showing up here to do our little thing on Sunday. It's actually real. Like, there's actually a God. There's actually a Holy Spirit who's in everybody here. There's actually a devil. There actually is. We don't just come on Sunday to tell stories, you know? It's actually real. Why are we reacting like the world does to things? Like, I heard this one guy say, when you get to heaven, and again, this isn't a condemnation, or I'm just saying, like, this is where we need to go. This is what we're called to. Let's be it. Because we can. But he said, when you step through heaven's gates, when you die, and you see everything, like when Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, you're going to wish to God you could have gone back and bled more and given more and died more. But you won't be able to. I want to know at the end of my life that I was spent. Like empty, empty vessel poured out. I don't want to be half full when I go to heaven, when I die. And look, what's with all this extra? I was really tired that day. Not going to stand, you know? Look, let's pour ourselves out. And I mean, it's so good too, because imagine not trying to sum up the guts to react well. Somebody spits in my face because I say, hey, Jesus loves you. And I have to like really take it easy, like control myself and make sure I don't hit him because I'm pretty mad. Imagine if you didn't have to try to do that. Imagine if you just reacted out of love, because that's who you are. Because that's actually who you are. You just react well because you are well. Because you're sozoed. Which is why we need to know our identity so much. We need to get that drilled in, drilled in, drilled in, drilled in. Like, so much. Because it's really cool when something crummy happens to you. Because you see yourself growing, right? Something crummy happens to you and you react really well. It's like, yes! He's doing it. He's doing it in me. I'm actually new. It's a really cool feeling that I don't have to fight bitterness. Wow. Because I just understand who I am. And I understand their created value because I know who I am. We get so caught up in this and that and blah, blah, blah. And we forget that Jesus died on the cross for them too. and that he really loves them, and that they hold a part of his nature, and that they're created in his image. You know? And when we walk around believing that about ourselves, we start believing it about other people as well. And then we treat them that way, despite the crap that they throw at us. And then we stop throwing crap at other people out of self-defense because we're dying. We're dying, we're dying, we're dying. And you know, dying is like, you were never created for yourself anyways. You were never created to carry and to protect your reputation and to represent your will and your doings on the earth. You were born to represent God's. So when you die, you're actually just taking a huge weight off of your shoulders that was never supposed to be there. You're here to represent him. And it's all out of love, which is why all of this, everything I've been saying this morning, is rooted in intimacy, deeply rooted in intimacy. It's in transformation. It's not about knowing the Bible. It's about believing the Bible and allowing that to transform you. Let's be transformed. Let's be a transformed people. Like people see, wow, I actually want to be that. I've never seen someone that happy. I've never been so envious of someone's life. Hey, I can explain. Jesus lives in me. Can you see him? He's looking at you. Yeah. And I think this is appropriate. People come up here for prayer every once in a while, and or every Sunday, whatever. And if you're just feeling in your heart you want to step in that, come up and like just pray for people, man. It's awesome. Good. Believe it. Yeah. Start doing things, because the greatest proof that you actually believe something is that you'll do it. Yeah. But yeah, I'll wrap it up. So everybody, just open your heart, like step in right now. Mentally, just, you know, go to that place. You're before the Father. He's looking at you. And he's bent down, and he's happy, and he's got a huge smile on his face. And he's, there you are. No one else smells like you do. And I like your smell. He's happy to see you today. He has bathed you in righteousness. He's clothed you in it. You shine as bright as the sun before him. The sun. He was happy to do it. He was happy to die on the cross for you because of the joy set before him. He endured the suffering. He is pleased with you today. You're standing before that guy. Every time, even if you don't think this yet, just start imagining it. Like, imagine that whenever you go to God, imagine that you are encountering the person in the entire planet who is the most happy to see you. Even if he doesn't feel it, just imagine it and just keep doing that and keep transforming your mind. God is the most happy person in the universe to see you right now. And that's who we stand before, and that's who we pray to. So God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for growing us and for bringing growth to your body and for shaking what can be shaken so that the unshakable remains. Father, I just ask that you would just you already have poured out your love, but make us aware of how much you love us. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and in the knowledge of the truth, that we may know the height, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love of God in our lives. Why that? Oh, it's so good. That's what transforms us. So God, thank you for today. And I just ask, God, that, we would all walk around with an awareness, with a consciousness that we're representing you today. And that we're all worthy to. In Jesus' name, amen.